and welcome to the Original Content Podcast. I'm Anthony Ha.
I'm Jordan Crook.
And I'm Daryl Etherington.
And this week, we are going to review Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga, which is a new Will Ferrell comedy on Netflix. And it seems like the obvious place to start with that is the Eurovision Song Contest. How familiar with Eurovision were you guys before you watched this movie?
So I feel like, what was it? Was it Pitch Perfect that did, like, it's not actually Eurovision, right? But it's something similar to it. And I feel like it was in another movie referenced.
Pitch Perfect had a global choir off.
Yeah.
Of some kind, right?
But it felt Eurovision-y. And then I think there was another movie I saw a while back that, like, was all about the Eurovision Song Contest. And, you know, Thor Friedrichsen, who founded QuizUp?
Oh, okay. Sure.
So he, I was doing a story with him at one point, and he was like, we have a category for Eurovision. He's also Icelandic, which is a funny little connection. And he was like, we have a trivia category for Eurovision, and it's great. And I was like, what is Eurovision? And he was like, you don't know Eurovision. And so I learned a lot from him. And that's my full extent of my knowledge.
Do Canadians know more about it?
I don't know. I don't think it's... No, it has like the same exposure in Canada as it does in the States. Like, most of my exposure to it is from Europeans I follow on Twitter talking about it because they're like very, very interested in it when it's going on live. And then also like taking offense at Americans not understanding it. So that even when this came out, right, like there was a lot of like grumbling, or when it came out that this was going to happen, there was a lot of grumbling. I think in the end, and you know, it's not a spoiler, but like I think in the end, this actually is probably enjoyable to people who enjoy Eurovision, or more so than they were maybe expecting. But yeah, I knew about it a little bit. I knew that it was like, I knew that there was a lot of intense production going on, and that the performers took it very, very, very seriously, and that it was a little, it was over the top. I also knew that it was like not, crucially not like American Idol or The Voice, but for Europe, which is what a lot of people think. Like even Tara was like, oh yeah, let's watch this, but like what is
in
that?
What
it's like
is
The Voice,
but
European, right? And then there's like a joke because it's like, it's more like the Olympics opening ceremony, but without the Olympics. It's not really like a bunch of amateurs doing a you know, competing. It's very different. There's like delegates and like, it's more like a international sporting competition, I guess, like similar in that it's an amateur competition, but it's more like, it's honestly more like the Olympics, but for pop songs than it is like a TV reality competition, I guess.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. And I mean, I do think this is actually, it was shot at, looks like it was actually shot at Eurovision, the Eurovision production company or whatever the company owns Eurovision is one of the companies behind this movie. So if anything, I mean, it pokes fun at Eurovision very gently, but is, you know, in some ways also like a promotion for Eurovision, like Americans,
yeah,
you should watch it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it made it like the song numbers in it were a lot more enjoyable than I was expecting. Like it was like, it felt like it was almost part musical at times, and like pretty good. Like I enjoyed the musical numbers that went on, and you know, there's a lot of guest spots, cameos, I guess, and those were pretty fun too. And they're like mostly musical cameos, so it took all that stuff a lot more seriously than I thought it was going to take. And then it was mostly just like, okay, like Will Ferrell is a buffoon and his stuff is buffoonery, but like everything else about this is legit, right? So legit, but like also we can take ourselves, we don't take ourselves too seriously. It was part of it too, right? Like there's some absurdity to it that we acknowledge and everybody acknowledges, but yeah.
Right. Like no one is watching Eurovision to see you know, somebody with like an acoustic guitar sit and like strum quietly on stage. It's like about like kind of almost crazy showmanship.
Yeah. Like figure skating. It's more like figure skating, but with singing.
Figure skating at the Olympics with delegates.
Yeah.
Music. Wait, so one quick cue. Who has a real voice, like singing voice in this? Like who is doing their actual vocals?
Will Ferrell's like, doing his own.
Well, it feels like he's doing it like half the time. But like, you think he's doing it the whole time?
I think so, because he never is quite very good. And he always seems to sound like Will Ferrell.
Do you think that, what's her name? Brittany, what?
Rachel McAdams.
Rachel McAdams. I don't know.
No, she's not. Brittany.
In fact, so here's how it's described in the Wikipedia entry. It says that one of the contestants in Eurovision in 2006, her voice was harmonized with Rachel McAdams' voice to create the singing voice of the character Sigrid, Eric's daughter. So I think that just basically means somebody else was singing for her.
Yeah. I think I heard that she did some of the acoustic stuff herself, like the early songs, when they're just singing kind of like in the basement without any production behind it.
Okay, I can see that.
But then, yeah. Especially because she sings a significant chunk of it in Icelandic and it seems hard to do. And then when Will Ferrell chimes in with his sound, it's doesn't sound like good Icelandic. Like he's singing it, but it's like, okay, it sounds like an American singing Icelandic.
Yeah. Well, because I think part of the plot is that Rachel's character, Sigrid, is supposed to be a genuinely great singer, although it's not necessarily completely clear at first because it's in the sort of basements and like doing these kind of ridiculous cover songs and also singing this song Ya Ya Ding Dong.
It was a great song.
But once they actually get to Eurovision, spoilers, they do eventually go to Eurovision. You know,
whoa, like, what? Come on.
You ruined the movie, Anthony.
Then that's like a big plot point is that she's actually like a really good singer. And
yeah,
basically, so the setup is that we start with Will Ferrell's character, Lars, as a kid, falling in love with ABBA at Eurovision. And then we fast forward to the present day where he and Sigrid are in a band together called Fire Saga. And they're trying really hard to get into the Eurovision Song Contest. And that's really the whole plot. There's I mean, it's in a lot of ways, they take the template of like an inspirational sports story or inspirational, you know, performance, like artistic breakthrough story. You've got to like perform at the big concert and they just totally slide into it. There's not like a lot of twists or anything. I mean, there's some very minor twists that you can see like from a mile away. And the weird thing is almost everything about it I can say is pretty silly and dumb and, you know, the jokes are all pretty obvious, but I really enjoyed it. I just thought it was like
a good
time
too.
All around.
I really liked it. I enjoyed it a lot. Way more than I was expecting to. And it was like pure enjoyment. It wasn't like I'm laughing at this enjoyment.
I liked it mostly. I liked it more than I thought I would. I'm really pretty, like, I'm not a huge Will Ferrell fan or like that whole genre of humor. Like, I think I enjoyed Anchorman when I was younger. But I think Anchorman's just like a masterpiece of comedy in a lot of ways. Although I don't know if I would love it as much now. I mean, I haven't watched Anchorman in 10 years or something, right? Like, I don't know how I would feel about it now, but I'm generally speaking, I'm not a huge fan of Will Ferrell, but I thought that this was, I did laugh out loud a few times. And I think like outside of the physical comedy, because I'm actually like not really into that generally speaking, I thought like it just has some pretty solid comedic writing and like some really funny, I don't know what you call it, but like almost like naivety. I don't know, like the way that like Sigrid and Lars communicate and have like almost their own language that they're in this like bubble for, and other people are like, what the hell, you know, like that situationally and writing wise was pretty funny. But I don't know fully because I haven't seen it all, so it's funny so far.
It feels like because again, you start with them as kids, and in a lot of ways, it feels like they're the same characters as adults. Like, which I think is kind of a Will Ferrell thing, is that he always plays these kind of man-child characters. And, you know, in some ways, the Rachel McAdams character, I think, is not as outwardly ridiculous, but there is something in their dynamic where you still feel like that kind of like childlike relationship, which is kind of played up because Sigrid wants to start a romantic relationship with Lars, and he kind of keeps rebuffing her because he wants the band to take off and he wants to win Eurovision. And I mean, I have to say, actually, that was one of the things about the movie that I wasn't crazy about, because it felt like a very kind of...
So dumb. Like, what in the world?
What, just the romantic subplot?
Oh, the romantic subplot. I didn't... Well, also just because I didn't like that it kind of reduced her to a very traditional female role who's like, can't we get married? Can't we have a kid? Yeah. And, you know, that he's the one who has this ambition. I mean, the thing that sort of complicates it is that his ambition is completely ridiculous and she's the one with all the talent.
Yeah. But she's still, you're right. She's still very much is like, all I want is this hometown. Like, let's stay at home and I'll become a homemaker, which is like not a very ambitious plot line for a character to have.
And like the idea that like, I mean, maybe I'm being really shallow with this, but like the idea of him turning her down is just like silliness in my mind. She's like a beautiful, talented, brilliant person, and he's like this doofus. Like, what is happening, you know? Like,
well, she could, and she could have the policeman.
Either one of them. I did like the scene where they were like, just be cool, like be a cool guy.
That was good. So I think for me he was the weakest part of this. Not to say I didn't like enjoy it, like it was just like I really love this movie, but I love everything around him, and I was fine with it. I think it was because he like, I don't think he like went as Will Ferrell as he could have gone with this performance, so that made it better. But I do feel like, I don't know, I there's something about him that I just don't like too, that I'm just kind of over, and that's maybe just kind of like the curse of being a very funny contemporary comedian for a certain period of time and then having the world move on or whatever. But like he I thought he did a good job, and I thought part of that was that he wasn't trying to convince you too much that, like, he was just like a idiot in the middle, right? And it was like, okay, like I'm saying these things, none of these things are believable at all, and I know that and you know that and whatever, right? Like, and some of the best stuff that he delivered was his anti-American tirades, like at the American Tourist. Those were fantastic, and I thought that was like the best use of Will Ferrell in it, because it acknowledges like, we know this is totally absurd that he's playing this role in this movie. I also, this is not related, but like one of my favorite characters in the movie, not characters, but like almost it was like Iceland. They did so many great big sweeping shots of Iceland and like just beautiful, beautiful cinematography of their little fishing village. And I thought that was, it felt so nice. And I don't know if it was like COVID brain, like it's just nice to see a different place like portrayed so indulgently, but I thought that
I'm
was
with
really
you that I liked most too. Of the things outside or around Will Ferrell. And I also, I haven't seen the whole movie, but thus far my favorite line so far was from Rachel McAdams when she said, the elves went too far.
Yeah, she does love the elves. It's a nice little twist. Pretty good.
The elves do pay off.
The elves pay off, yeah.
One thing this movie also made me think of is like how, because of the way that comedy has evolved in a good way, is that like most accents you can't make fun of anymore, right? You can't have a white actor, white American actor doing like a Chinese accent or, you know, any country in Africa or anything like that, but you can still get away with doing European and I guess Canadian accents. That's basically it.
Yeah.
That's what you got. And so they really go to town in this movie, and you know, none of them tries to do a convincing accent. They just kind of are not even, it's not even comedic. It's more just kind of like, well, we all know that you're not really Icelandic.
Yeah.
It's fine. And whenever they have a more quote unquote serious scene, you can kind of hear the accents fading. But the most magnificent accent, I have to say, is Dan Stevens as Lemtov.
Oh, I thought you were
the Russian.
I thought you were going to say Pierce Brosnan's because I found his particularly good too because it's basically nothing. It's like he's not even, it's like, what am I supposed to do? All right. Yeah. But Dan Stevens is fantastic. And when I saw him, I didn't know he was in this movie. And when he showed up, I was like, this is wonderful. I'm very excited about this. And yeah, he does a terrific accent. He really, yeah, there are certain, like, he'll just have like one line where he just like really languishes in it. And you're like, yes, this is great. The Russian also opened for comedic exploitation still. That's another accent you can add to the list.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and the great thing is that, like, you think at first, at least I assumed at first, that he was going to be a villain. And instead, he ends up being much more of this just kind of romantic rival without being, like, an outright villain in a way that I liked. And I was just, that I could, like, still, like, root for him the whole way through. No, it's definitely not real.
No, the singing voice? No, God.
Also, the lip syncing in this movie, they were definitely like, okay, we all know that these actors don't sound like this, it's fine, we're not gonna work that hard on
you guys. Are really picking it apart. I feel like everything that was like not as good as it should have been was actually like intentionally mediocre.
Oh yeah, I'm yeah. sure. I don't think anybody was like bothered that
it's like they want to constantly remind you you're watching, I think, a Will Ferrell movie.
Yeah, they just told him, like, don't worry about it. It's a Will Ferrell movie. Don't worry about it.
Like, the lip sync is off. It's a Will Ferrell movie. Just remember, you're watching a Will Ferrell movie.
But I love that, too, that he wasn't... I mean, that's kind of spoiler. I don't know how spoiler that is. But there's, like... You think, like, he's going to be in the mold of, like, Adam Sandler or Adam McKay-produced comedies of old. And, like, he'll be, like, a Shooter McGavin or something. And he's not that at all. He's, like, a... also supportive, sympathetic character. I think his greatest sin is like, oh, he realizes that Will Ferrell's a buffoon, but like Will Ferrell is a buffoon, like everyone acknowledges that,
right?
The whole show, right? Yeah.
And the Rachel McAdams is a million times better than him.
Yeah, which, yeah, again, yeah. It's
true.
Yeah, and he's very supportive of her, like throughout the movie, like, and not in a weird bad way, right? Which, you know.
And his performance is great. He's got, you know, I guess not real tigers, but sort of tiger-shaped men.
Men emulating tigers.
That's good. One other person, well, so like we said, Pierce Brosnan, in addition to his accent, is just amazing and handsome and perfect in this movie. Demi Lovato shows up for a little bit. She's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then the policeman, Arnar, he's played by this guy, Bjorn Haraldsson. Who I don't know if you guys recognized him from The Witcher, but he was also this small but sympathetic and crucial role there where he's like the king who dies in the first episode. But then we see him again in flashbacks. He's great. I love him.
That is definitely, because I was like, this guy looks so familiar. And yeah, that's what it was. That's what I was thinking of. Because I'm looking at his like other film roles on IMDb. I don't know any of these other movies because they're all Icelandic. So, yeah. The other actor I really liked is that Olafur Dari Olafsson, who is the head of the committee or whatever, or the head of the national broadcaster for Iceland. The large bearded guy. But he was in Lady Dynamite. He was Maria Bamford's fiance, and then later I think they actually get married, like husband in that show in season two, love interest anyway, and he's very good in that. And I was happy to see him again because I've never seen him in anything else.
Did you guys like the music?
I did. I thought it was all pretty enjoyable. Like, you know, it's pop, it's like not everybody's cup of tea, but it's most people's cup of tea. That's how pop works. But
I like the Volcano song better than I like their Eurovision song. But I think that just like
100%
dies through redundancy, you know? Like, you just hear it so many times that you're just like, ugh, I get it. You turn my nights into morning.
Oh, their Eurovision song. Yeah, I didn't love that. Yeah.
Was Katiana a real singer?
That's Demi Lovato.
That's what I thought. Okay, thank you.
That'd be weird if you brought Demi Lovato on and then dubbed over her with another singer. But I don't.
I was like, I don't recognize pop stars at this point. But Good. Okay, I was right. That was what my intuition told me, that she's an existing star. Yeah, I thought the music was fine. I don't know.
One last thing I would want to mention before we go into spoilers is, just because I think everyone, even if you haven't seen the movie, should know this, is that there's a plot point, or actually the main plot point is the whole idea that Iceland could never win Eurovision. But I just wanted to mention that this year, like, one of my most reliable joys in quarantine, whenever I'm feeling down, I just type, I'm probably going to mispronounce it, Daddy Fryer. So it's D-A-D-I and then F-E-R-Y-R. And they are the, it's both like the name of the band and the musician, but they're Eurovision's, or Iceland's, entry into the 2020 Eurovision contest. And then the song Think About Things, which is just pure joy. And everyone should watch the video for Think About Things, watch the quarantine video for Think About Things, watch every version of Think About Things. It's just great.
Is it actually good, or you're making fun of it?
Okay. No, it's actually good. Real. I mean, it's actually good in the way that a lot of Eurovision songs are, that it's not, you know, it's big and it's crazy, but it's also like really fun. And like, you just end up like nodding your head and humming along.
Okay, I'll good. Check that out.
I also really like the piano song that they, I forget who, I don't know if that guy performed by Salvador Sobral. I don't know.
Oh,
if
you mean like in the streets or whatever? Or is it actually part of the contest? Because there is a piano performer like in the streets of Europe that's really nice.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. It's in the streets. It ends with him in the streets. But he won, apparently he won Eurovision Song Contest 2017. On behalf of Portugal.
It's cool that they just are using a bunch of them.
Yeah.
A bunch of like the winners and contestants and stuff. Or I guess maybe just him. I don't know.
No. I think a bunch of the people who are in the song montage are also former winners or participants, in addition to YouTubers or something. But yeah.
Should we move into spoilers?
Yeah.
Sure. Spoil away. What happens?
So the initial setup is that they're not actually competing in Eurovision at first. They're just trying to get into it and be in the basically be the representative from Iceland. And they're competing against Demi Lovato's character. And they just have this...
Who's complete, a shoe-in.
Right. Because she's actually talented. And like, she gives this amazing performance. Will Ferrell, meanwhile, is busy with trying to get the lights fixed for their show while they're being called to the stage. So he like runs up to the stage, and it's just like a complete disaster. And they, you know, officially or unofficially have come in last place. So they're so dejected, they don't get on the boat where the party is. And then the boat explodes, killing all the other contestants. And so they do get to go to Eurovision, and there's actually a great scene where they're,
because it's a rule,
and she says the elves went too far.
and she's like, I'm so sad, but he's like grinning, he's like, this is such a tragedy,
giddy with
this is a great tragedy, with a giant smile on his face. And they're like jumping up and down being like, I'm so sad.
So then they go to Edinburgh, where actual Eurovision is, and they're still kind of a laughing stock. And things aren't necessarily going great for them, but they are befriended by this guy, Lemtov, who is the favorite to win. He's from Russia, and he invites them to a big party at one of his many homes, where there's an amazing musical sequence, and also Sigrid, which is the Rachel McAdams character, ends up going home with Lemtov, and Lars ends up going home with Mita, who's the contestant from Greece. And so there's like now this tension between them, because especially Sigrid feels betrayed, and like she's been like waiting for this guy who then just went and slept with somebody else. And then during the semifinals, they give a performance that's actually going pretty well, except that Lars has given Sigrid this extra long scarf without telling her, because like one of the threads is that he keeps kind of tinkering with and overproducing their set
and not telling her, surprising her with these tinkers.
Yeah. And so then her scarf gets caught in his hamster wheel, and she gets pulled, you know, like basically yanked off, like off the stage, the hamster wheel also goes off into the crowd, and like the music keeps playing, but then they manage to get up and get back on the stage and sing the end of the song. And there's like this long, long silence, but then the audience starts applauding. And then when you see the scores start coming in, which is both from the delegates from each country, but also from the audience popular vote, it turns out that Iceland was like just made the cutoff, and people actually liked Iceland, and that they like sort of fought through it, which I have to say, like, that scene, even though it's such a, it's obviously meant to just be like an aping of like every other, you know, inspirational movie scene where like the person realizes that they made the cut, but it was like really effective. And the moment where she's Rachel McAdams, probably because Rachel McAdams is just so good, and like during the dramatic scenes is genuinely convincing, that she's sitting there being like, we lost, but I'm going to sit here and I'm going to like take it because I believe in like seeing this thing through, and I believe like we should be proud of what we did. And she just, and like every time you hear somebody say Iceland, that they're voting for Iceland, she just sort of like lights up a little bit more. And yeah, it was like, I was like, at the end, it was like, yeah, Iceland, awesome. Even though, of course, you knew that was what was going to happen, unless there was going to be another boat explosion or something.
Right.
Also, at the same time, Demi Lovato's ghost, missing an arm, has appeared to Will Ferrell one time, warning him that his life is in danger. But he basically ignored her. And he actually, at this, has also gone back to Iceland because he was so embarrassed by their performance. But while he's back there, he actually reconciles with his father, Pierce Brosnan, who tells him, you got to go back out there. You have the spirit of a Viking. And he decides, finally, because he's been a skeptic about the elves all along, he decides to go up and visit the elves and, you know, ask them for help. And he's actually being driven by this, like, I guess the chief finance officer of Iceland or something like that.
Yeah. He's the governor of the central bank of Iceland, which is because they have like a federally central bank. And so
who like the whole time doesn't want Iceland to win
because it will bankrupt. Because
he's worried about the cost of hosting next year,
which is similar to Olympics, right? Like, one really, the bankers never really want those. Everybody else wants those, but they cost way more money than they're worth.
Right. It's like, which is why, like, I think when there was talk of it happening in New York, and every real New Yorker was like, no thanks. And so it turns out that this the bank guy who didn't want Iceland to win, he's the one who blew up the boat. And so now he is going to have to kill Will Ferrell to ensure that Iceland doesn't win the contest. He attacks Will Ferrell, and there's like a fight, but suddenly he is stabbed by someone off screen.
Not Will Ferrell. The bad guy.
Yeah, the bank guy is stabbed. And Will Ferrell like sort of picks up the knife and stares at it in wonder, and then looks up at the little elf houses, and he sees one of the doors closing. It's very good. I really like that.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm just going to leave this knife here in case you need to murder anyone else. And then he goes to Eurovision, and they sing a song that we've been hearing Sigrid working on, which is a love song that has like large stretches of Icelandic in it. And I think the rules say that you can't switch songs mid-competition. You have to just stick with it, or at least the movie's version of the rules, which I assume are accurate. Will Ferrell is like, no, we're going to sing your song, even though it means we're going to lose the competition, because I know it means that the song means a lot to you, and, you know, everyone at home, it'll mean a lot to them. So they sing this ballad, which is probably my least favorite song of the movie, just because it's like so slow.
I like that song.
It's fine. And then everyone applauds. Graham Norton, who's been sort of the commentator all along, pops back in. It's like, well, that was really beautiful. I mean, of course they're going to lose, but that was really beautiful. Lemtov, the Russian, it's implied, will win. But he also like has more or less admitted that he's gay, even, and like, you know, doesn't really want to go back to Russia. So he decides he's going to go with Mita to Greece, and everybody lives happily ever after.
Yeah.
Do they end up together?
Oh, they
though?
Do. And then they kiss. Yes, they kiss.
Will Ferrell and Sigrid. Yeah. They have a baby.
Yeah.
And they sing Ya Ya Ding Dong at the end of the movie to
to
the request of everyone back in Husavik or whatever.
And their parents are also dating, which is great, because like one of the other running threads, right, is the always that Will Ferrell was always like, well, maybe my sister, and she says probably not.
Wait, but was it, were they ever definitive?
No,
that they were,
they were, they were, the only definitive they got was like the Pierce Brosnan's character at one point says, oh, those Eric's daughter women, like she was the only one who would never have anything to do with me. So he basically says like, that's the one woman in town that I haven't slept with. Implying like, no, they actually aren't genetically related, unlike everyone else. But it's made more confusing by the fact that like the Icelandic names are either son of man's name or daughter of man's name. Like that's how their last names work. So their last names are Eriksson and Eriksdotter. So they could also, like, if you just heard their names, you'd be like, oh, you must be related. But there's also a million Eriks in Iceland, right?
But yeah,
that's true.
That's the whole, it's, yeah, I mean, the plot isn't really the point, but it's, you know, it's fun. Like, the whole thing, I think, is just fun. And, like, in the key dramatic moments is reasonably convincing and compelling. And Rachel McAdams, I think, like, she just totally sells a lot of the dramatic moments.
Yeah, she does a really good job.
So, I mean, I would also note that I kind of had low expectations going into this, because I think we've been talking about occasionally about this sense that sometimes the Netflix movies that famous people do or accomplished directors make is are sometimes feel like the kind of their either the B material that other studios didn't want to spend money on, or first draft material where the Netflix was just like, yeah, sure, go for it. This is great. And I kind of expected that in this case. I know that like Will Ferrell's last comedy didn't do super well. And it sort of,
what was his last comedy?
It was Holmes and something or other. Holmes.
Oh, right. It was the Sherlock Holmes one. Yeah. I heard nothing good about that.
Yeah.
I never saw it.
And so I sort of thought like, okay, well now he's like, as you were sort of implying, and you know, I don't in any way want to suggest that Will Ferrell's career is over, but more just, you know, there are sort of like ebbs and flows, and he's part of this generation of comedians. And partly because I think studio comedies in general aren't being made as often anymore. It feels like he kind of had to go to Netflix to get this made. I don't know if that's literally true, but it just feels like, you know, that's where a lot of comedians are going to get their movies made now. Adam Sandler being the other really big example. And I just sort of assumed this would be sort of like a kind of bargain basement Will Ferrell movie, but I thought it was great.
Yeah. Like all kinds of location shooting too, right? Like they didn't budget or they didn't go cheap on any of that stuff. So I thought it was cool. I thought all the supporting cast were really good. Again, like we said, the music is genuinely fun and like really adds to it. It doesn't feel like, oh, you're doing a musical number. Like I was worried that was, because that tends to be my reaction for a lot of things where like, if it's not actually defined as a musical, it's really weird to like, and feels artificial to inject a musical number in the middle of it. But I thought it all worked pretty well here, even the ones where they're supposed to be organically just like doing a musical number, right? They used a lot of selfie cam style shots on all of the, I don't know if they do that during actual Eurovision, like they did it during the produced numbers, but they also did it during the like, oh, we just happened to be singing, you know, at the party or whatever numbers. And I thought those were actually pretty good too. I liked everything about this. I thought it was like, yeah, like it's surprisingly thoughtful in terms of like how it was shot and, you know, the quality of the shots and stuff.
Cool. Any final thoughts on Eurovision Song Contest?
No, I mean, I guess I wonder how people, hopefully people will write in and respond, but I wonder how people feel about it, because Eurovision was canceled this year, obviously. And like, because this was supposed to release like alongside Eurovision, like the contest, and then they delayed it, but the actual competition was canceled. I wonder if this is like a nice thing to get instead of the competition, or if this is a bitter pill to receive when you can't actually get the real Eurovision. But either way, I mean, I just found it to be a nice, enjoyable movie that was like, you know, exactly the type of thing where you're like, wow, this is what I'm looking for. Like, it's a feel good movie, makes me want to turn my brain off. Nothing really controversial about it. And yeah, it also portrays what I think is like a pretty, something I don't know that much about, but seems really joyful and fun, like the actual Eurovision contest itself.
I think the only thing I would add is just, it's a reminder that Rachel McAdams should be in more things, and she hasn't been.
Yeah, no kidding.
Super busy, and I don't know how much of that is personal life or whatever, but she's great, and she should be in all of the things.
Yeah. I completely agree. She's fantastic.
Also, Dan Stevens. Yes. Get Dan Stevens and more stuff. Yeah, his when he was doing, I mean, when he was there with her when she was like receiving the news, I thought that was going to be the turn of his character, like. Oh, I'm supporting her because she doesn't stand a chance of winning or whatever. And then when Iceland gets into the semis, he's going to turn and be like, I'm an asshole. Like, you're not my competition. But not at all. He was like very overjoyed and enjoyed it as well and was very supportive when Will Ferrell's character had walked off and was being an asshole. And it was like, this is just nice. Yeah. Like, that's it's it. Yeah. The only real villain was the banker. And you kind of felt sympathy for him because all these idiots are going to bankrupt his country.
Right. Although it turned out he didn't have to try to kill Will Ferrell. He could have just said, oh, why don't you just play a different song to prove your love for Cigarette? And
right.
Everybody wins, including me. Although I guess he did have to blow up the boat, because then otherwise Iceland might have won.
That was necessary, unfortunately.
Yeah. The other great exchange with Dan Stevens was right before Cigarette goes on stage for the finals. And she's like, I just need to ask you, are you gay? And he's like, no, there are no gay people in Russia. No gay people in Russia. There are. And she's like, okay. Like, are you like gender fluid or anything? He says, no, he, him. I just thought, for some reason.
Yeah.
Just,
like, he's like, no, he, him pronoun. Yeah. Sad, but also funny. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he just says, you know, this is your moment. Go out. Like, we can figure this out later. And again, everything about that is just so nice and supportive. All right, well, let's wrap it up there. If you have thoughts about Eurovision Song Contest, the story of Fire Saga, you can email us at originalcontent@techcrunch.com. You can also follow us and tweet at us at originalcontent on Twitter. And of course, if you enjoy what we do, we'd always appreciate it if you could leave a positive review in Apple Podcasts. And if you haven't already, feel free to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, any other podcast app. And Jordan and Daryl, have a great 4th of July weekend.
Yes.
Yeah.
Happy 4th.
Go America.
Happy Canada regular weekend.
Enjoy the Canada weekend Day. After Canada Day.
It was yesterday.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry. That was a very U.S.-centric outro. I'm sorry.
Nationalism is on the rise, folks. All right. Well, happy weekend, whatever you're celebrating. Happy weekend.